How many know that church is not a place that you come to and plan on leaving the same way you came? Right? You don't. The idea is not to come to church and leave the way you came. The idea is to come and hear the word and be changed and leave better. Right? We have a better covenant based on better promises. So we have the ability by the Spirit of God to come, hear a word, be changed, be transformed, and leave better than we came in Jesus' name. Oh, and kids are dismissed. I was playing a Brent there. I didn't announce that. So kids are dismissed for kids' church. I don't know if we have any nursery. No nursery? Okay. Gotcha. All right. Hallelujah. But we come to be changed. Amen. And I believe that that the Lord has given me a word for this morning that will change your life. It will change your life if you'll receive it. And I believe that there are more people in here that need this than we may think. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I don't know if me, Roger, and Virgie just, man, we just had such a great conversation about this before service. I thought, man, if the church could hear this, man, they would be blessed. But glory to God. Well, go with me to, I'm not going to rehash what I taught on 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Don't turn there. You can write it down, because if you turn there, then I'll feel compelled to preach on it. Okay. So 2 Corinthians 5, 21 tells us that Jesus became sin. Became our sin. Did you understand what that means? Don't preach on it, but okay. Did Jesus ever sin?
Yes.
No. Okay. Did Jesus ever sin?
No,
he did not ever sin. I think I kind of tricked her with what I said before that. All right, Pastor Heather, way to go. All right. Jesus never sinned. So just because he became sin, that does not mean he ever sinned. But what he did do is he became our sin so that we could become the very righteousness of God. Not self-righteousness. We're righteous with his righteousness. Amen? Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says that by one man, sin came into the world, the man, Adam. And then, but by Jesus, Jesus took care of the sin problem. Right? And he made us kings in the earth to rule in the reign and to dominate in this earth with his power. Amen? All right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10 says that we are saved by grace. And what is that? By believing in his grace. Right? By believing in what Jesus did, not our own works. Amen? There, right there was 2 weeks ago when I spoke, that was that message. So let's keep moving. Did I do good? Glory to God. Okay, get brownie points with the wife. I love it. That's always a good thing. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and pick it up right there. Amen? That was just to remind you of what we were talking about. Heather, if you weren't here last week and you get a chance to watch Pastor Heather's message on Facebook, go look it up. It was an amazing message. I was so blessed. Many people were blessed. It was such a good word for our church. And so I just want to encourage you to go check that out. It was just an absolutely phenomenal word. But I'm back, and I'm ready. Glory to God. Heather's, I think sometimes she feels like it's pulling teeth to get me to give her a Sunday, because I just like to, I enjoy preaching so much, but no, I told her, I said, hey, anytime you want to preach, you let me know. I'm down with that. Now, that goes for her. Don't need 50 people coming up and telling me you want to preach, okay? I'll have to hear from God on that one. No, there are some good people with some great words in here. All right, let's look at Galatians chapter 2. Because it makes this interesting statement in Galatians chapter 2. All right? In verse 20, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Did you catch that? My old self has been crucified with Christ. Well, let's keep reading. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body. See, once again, it separates your spirit from your body. What you see is the house my spirit lives in. You are a spirit. You have a soul, which is mind, will, thinking, intellect, emotions, feelings. And you live in a physical body. That's the way the Apostle Paul put it, right? So you are a spirit. That's why when a person can die and their body becomes lifeless, motionless, in other words, it's not doing anything anymore. Why? Because the spirit has departed from the body. So you are a spirit. And he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God. By trusting who? So I live in this earthly body by trusting all of my good works. So I live in this earthly body, trusting all of the good things I've done in the past. What about yesterday? What about this morning? What about what I do tomorrow? Has nothing to do with that, does it? He says, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. How do we do that? One translation says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Wow, you talk about grace. I mean, the grace of God is like, what do we say? We use it as an acronym, God's riches, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, we get to enjoy all that God has because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. You can actually have days of heaven up on the earth. You think about that, it's pretty crazy because when you think about that, it's like, okay, days of heaven. What is it like in heaven? Well, there's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no poverty. There's no lack. So if Jesus, and you do remember, it was Jesus that told the disciples how to pray this. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray this, my Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven, right? And so this, all that is in this amazing, what we call the amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves someone like me. Amen? I used to be a wretch. I said, I used to be. Too many Christians are living like they're still wretches. That's why we don't sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Because why? I'm not a wretch anymore. He saved someone like me. I don't want that in my thinking that I'm still a wretch. Because you're not, right? Either you're worthy or you're not. And we're not talking about your own worthiness, all the good things you've done or the bad things you've done. We're talking about either you're worthy. If you're not worthy, watch this. If you're not worthy, you're not saved. If you're not worthy, oh, but I just don't feel like I'm very worthy, then get saved. I don't really think it's so much a case that you're not saved. I think it's a case that you don't have the revelation that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. What does it mean to be righteous? That means even if I just made a mistake, I can say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Okay, moving on. You don't have to grovel in your sin. You don't have to grovel and moan and groan about the mistakes you've made in the past, because the blood of Jesus, when you accepted Christ in your life, and if you're here today and you have not, that is such an easy fix. And that takes away all the guilt, all the shame. You're completely forgiven for every mistake you've ever made. That you can stand before God and go, here I am. Not, oh Lord, here I am. No, we don't have to act that way. The reason people, it's not so much about the action as the heart behind the action. The motivation behind that action is that I'm not worthy. I don't deserve. But yet, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, to come boldly to the throne of grace. There's only one way to come boldly. Is if you know that you're the righteous of God. Is if you know that you have been forgiven. Now, why is this an issue? Why is this such a big deal? Because you cannot do what God wants you to do. You cannot even live by faith. You can't even walk in the love of God without knowing that you've been forgiven. You can't love others with something you don't have. If you're walking around with a guilty conscience because of all of your mistakes of the past, then that's the only thing you have to give to somebody else. But God says, Jesus died on the cross so that you would not have to walk guilty. Right? And over in 1 John, it says, me and Roger and Virgie was talking about this morning. In 1 John, it says that if we do not feel guilty, we have confidence towards God. If we do not feel guilty, we have confidence towards God. Well, let's flip that around. If I feel guilty, I have no confidence towards God. Why? Because if I feel guilty, then I don't feel forgiven. Then I don't feel worthy. If I don't believe that I'm worthy, I'm not going to come in boldly. And if I'm not going to come to God boldly, then I'm not going to receive grace and mercy in a time of need. So God's going, no, I sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. You have been forgiven. I made my son your sin. I made him to be sin so that you could become my righteousness. Not self-righteousness. You are righteous with his righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says here, it says, my own self has been crucified. I was sharing this story with Roger Virgie this morning, and me and Heather, when we were youth pastors several years ago, this will tell you how long ago it was, a VHS. It wasn't even a CD, right, or a DVD. It was a VHS, and it was called Out of the Tombs. Remember that? It was kind of a weird kind of video, but we showed it to our youth, and we was talking to them about these kind of things. And the problem, here's the deal. When you give your life to Christ, you die with Christ. The old man is dead, gone, spiritually speaking. The old man is dead and gone, and you have been raised up together into new life, a new life in Christ Jesus. But what people do is they're carrying around on their back the old man. That old man's just trying to hang on you. Can you imagine if you had another you that was dead hanging on your shoulders and your back, and you're trying to go around and get stuff done? What is that old dead man doing? Weighing you down, slowing you down, hindering you. And it's not only that, but it's always a reminder of all the mistakes you've ever made. That'd be like me taking Cody. Cody comes up here and he gets up on my back and I'm just, you know, always, right? But no, God has set us free because of his righteousness. He knew that our good deeds wouldn't get it done. He didn't even want that for the Old Testament, but they kept, oh, God, we want this. So he gave them a law, knowing that they could not, the Bible says, knowing that they could not even do all of the law that he gave them. It was simply given to show them how much they needed him instead of just a bunch of laws. It was given to show them, the law was given to reveal sin. But Jesus came, fulfilled the law, and removed sin now, and gave us, and not only gave us, but made us righteous in him. That's why Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk according to the Spirit, walk in line with the Spirit of God, not according to the things and in line with the things of the flesh. Now, you can't go around declaring, I'm the righteous of God, and keep sinning. Paul even said, he says, can we just continue? Does this grace mean we can continue to sin? He says, God forbid, absolutely not. It's not a license to sin. It's a freedom from sin. Amen. Amen. It's not the sin that makes the sinner a sinner. It's the sinner's nature that makes the sinner sin. But when you come to Christ, God is giving you a new nature. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are a new creation altogether in Christ Jesus. For old things have passed away. Think about that. Old, the old man, passed away. We use that to refer to someone that has died. Right? Old things have passed away. The old sinful nature man that you had before Christ has died and has passed away. Now behold, all things have become new. That's why when he says that we are a new creation, that means we are a new race altogether. A new race, a new species of being. Before Jesus, or after Jesus died on the cross, this new creation, it was something that the earth had never, ever seen. This type of born-again child of God had never been seen on the earth, ever. Moses wasn't one. Abraham wasn't one. Moses and Abraham were not born again. They were men of God and they obeyed God, but God had to speak to them externally and things like that. But we've got the Spirit that when we die, when we give our life to Christ, the old man dies, we get this new nature. Now we're alive unto God. We can actually hear His Spirit speaking in our spirit. Amen. We are a new species altogether. Amen. And there is so much that goes with that. Glory to God, but we cannot, the purpose of this message is that because we cannot access what God truly has for us unless we walk in the reality that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. No more sin, no more mistakes. They don't have any power over. Sin only has power over you when you give it to sin. Or Satan only has power over you to the degree you give him power. He cannot just overpower you. You are a born again child of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It is the anointed. It means the anointed one and his anointing. The anointing that was upon his life, the supernatural spiritual ability that was on his life is now on your life to overcome sin, to overcome every challenge, to walk in victory. That's another thing. Until you begin to walk in the revelation that you are the righteousness of God, you will experience no victory. You will not experience what we call a victorious life without realizing that you're the righteousness of God. Because by Satan's design, his design is to keep you reminded of your mistakes. To keep you in guilt, keep you in shame, make you feel horrible about your past and all your mistakes. And we've all got mistakes that I'm not going to get up here. I've got mistakes in my life. I'm not going to get up here and just announce. But if someone found out about something I did in my past and they came up and said something to me, I'd like, that's the old man. I'm sorry, you're talking to the wrong guy. That guy's dead. I've never committed any sin. Let me say that one more time. I think that went over about like a lead balloon. I have never committed sin. Wait a minute, I remember seeing you when you did this and when you snapped off at Heather. I remember when you did this and said this, or I remember when you told me of some of the mistakes you made in your past. Yeah, I was telling you about what my old man did. But I've never sinned. Boy, I know that's going to go out like people, oh, that pastor over there, he's acting like he's like Jesus. He's never sinned. No, my old man did a lot of things. And every once in a while, that old man tries to come back up and climb back up on my shoulder and get me to say things that I shouldn't say or do things that I shouldn't do, act in ways I shouldn't act. But that's when I go, no, I am the righteousness of God. Man, get off of me. You ain't climbing back up on me. You're not weighing me down. No, God's got somewhere for me to go, and I can't go with you on my back. And that's what we need to do. When the enemy reminds us of our past, shake it off. Oh, you lying devil from hell. I've already told you about the Apostle Paul. Remember who he was before he was the Apostle Paul? He was Saul, the religious leader that went around arresting all the Christians, torturing them, killing them, arresting them, putting them in prison from the men, the women, and the children. He did hundreds of people like this. And then there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you hear Paul, you see where Paul wrote, I have wronged no one. I have wronged no one. Now us, what do? Dude, I remember reading about what you used to do to people. And he says, I have wronged no one. What's happening? What has happened? He has a revelation that he has been forgiven by God. And his past sins are no longer part of who he is. That was the old Saul. Now he's the Apostle Paul. And even if you just took off the apostle part, it's not about him being an apostle. It's about him being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. It's about him acknowledging that I've been forgiven for all that, so now that is no longer part of me. That was Saul that did that. That was that old man before Christ that did that. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. They're dead. They're gone. Behold, all things have become new. I have wronged no one. Can you say that? Can you say, I have wronged no one? I stand before God without sin. Can you look in the mirror and honestly say and believe it? I have never sinned. I can. Is it because I've never made mistakes? No. It's because I'm not trusting in my past. I'm trusting in what Jesus did on the cross for me. Man, what a liberating, powerful thought. Glory to God. But he says right here, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there would be no need for Christ to die. Hallelujah. So what does it mean to view or to treat the grace of God as meaningless? It's like if you keep trying to be right with God because of your own actions, if you keep trying to be right with God because, man, if I can just do enough good stuff to outweigh all my bad stuff, I just need to do more good stuff. If you keep doing that, that's treating the grace of God as meaningless because you don't receive the grace of God because of anything you've done. You remember 2 weeks ago in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, it talks about we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone can say, look at the salvation that I have earned. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? In other words, it has nothing to do with anything you've done or not done. The only sin that can ever send someone to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus as Christ and Lord and Savior of their life. That's the only sin. Murder don't send you to hell. Rape don't send you to hell. Right? All these horrible, heinous things that we think of as bad sin, none of those things can send you to hell. There is only one sin. Now, I'm not saying we should be able to go out and do those things. Obviously not, right? But if you have the nature of God, you're not going to want to go out and do those things. Right? But what I'm saying, the only sin that sends someone to hell is rejecting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because a sinful person cannot stand in the presence of God. And the only way you become sinless is by receiving what Jesus did for you in your place. He became your sin so that you could become. Righteousness is not something we put on for Sunday morning. That's not the righteousness of God. That's called self-righteousness. I'm going to go to church today so I can look good and so I can feel good about the week I just had and kind of get myself ready for the sin I'm going to commit this week. And if I still feel bad after that, I'll come back to church again and so I can feel good about it. You're basing it all based on what you can do to get it. But you, nobody in this world can do anything to earn salvation. That's why the scripture says, there is none good. Who said that? Jesus said it. There is none good, no, not one. There is none that are righteous. But that was before the cross. Now that he's died on the cross, he became the sin so that we could become the very righteousness of God. We are righteous with his righteousness. Amen. All right. So what does that mean? That means we don't have to go around producing any more Ishmaels. All right. What does that mean? Well, remember, if you remember back in Genesis, you know, God told Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to give you a child. And it didn't come the way they thought. So they, Abraham thought, you know, hey, I've got this idea. I have this idea. It wasn't something he got from God. He had this idea. Well, I tell you what, Sarah, I'll go in. No, actually, it was Sarah's idea. Go in and sleep with and have sex with our handmaiden. And she's in our household, so it's kind of like being in our household. So so that way it would be considered we had a child. So what did they do? Well, Abraham didn't argue too much with that. He jumps in there, and they produce this child called Ishmael, which is a child that was produced by the flesh instead of what God said. God said, I didn't tell you to go have a baby with Hagar. I told you that I was going to have you were going to have a baby with your wife, Sarah. And did that happen? Yes, it went on to happen, but because of the work of the flesh that they produced, it created problems for the world that we're still having today because of Ishmael. What I'm trying to tell you right now is that you're the righteousness of God. So you don't have to try to do anything in the flesh to try to and end up producing Ishmaels, right? In other words, you don't have to do things in the flesh to try to get salvation, because things that you do in the flesh is only going to produce problems for you. But God says, listen, you don't need to do that. I've already made Jesus your sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. All you got to do is receive what he did on the cross and say, flesh, you no longer dominate me. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So righteousness is not doing, it's not being goody-goody. It's not all the goody things you do. It's not all the good things that you do that makes you righteous, right? It's because of what Jesus did for you. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Wow, my time's gone and I was only on one verse. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let's look at this one and then I'll close. I still got two more, but we'll get to those next week. Praise God. Is this helping anybody? Come on, I believe in my heart, I believe that there's people here that need to hear this. Because the enemy has been trying for too long, and he's been successful to some degrees, and some bigger degrees and smaller degrees, depending on who you are. But I believe there's people that hear that it's like, come on, we need to receive this revelation knowledge. God, give us this revelation knowledge that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. You haven't tasted freedom until you are free from all guilt and shame of your past. And we've all got one. We've all got a past, but it's the dead. But when we gave our life to Christ, it became that dead man's gone. Now I can stand right before God and say, thank you, Lord, for making me righteous. I can come boldly into that throne of grace. Right? I think I've already told you over in 1 John, it says, if we do not feel guilty, we have confidence towards God. So here's the question. It's not, is God willing to make you righteous? It's, are you willing to receive his righteousness? Are you willing to let go of the past? Are you willing to let go of the mistakes you've made? You don't have to pay penance on your behalf. You don't have to, what I did was so bad, I just need to suffer a while. Where is that in the scriptures? No, that is the devil talking to you. That is even religious things talking to you. See, world religion says, clean up your mess and then come to God. God says, come to me and I'll help you clean it up. You come to me, that past you got, my son died on the cross and shed his blood for that. And so we're going to put that under the blood. And that blood is just it's not even going to be there anymore. The blood of Jesus doesn't just cover it, it washes it away. It's like the blood of Jesus is like a fire hose hooked to the cross. Right? And it doesn't just cover your sin. When you come to Jesus, when you accept what he did on the cross for you, that all your sin gets placed right in front of that fire hose and it is blasted out away. It's gone forever. God says, your sin is gone and I never, ever, ever, God says, I will never, ever remember your sin ever again. Glory to God. I'm about ready to run around this room, man. Glory to God. That sin is gone forever. Gone. If God's not never going, and God will never, I just keep remembering this. Well, it ain't God bringing it up to you. Because if you ask him to forgive you, it's gone. God will never, ever bring your sin up to you ever, ever again. Ever. Glory to God. So if you have a thought of that, it's not God bringing it up. It's going to be the enemy. Or your unwillingness to let it go. Your unwillingness to accept what Jesus did for you. But whether you accept it or not, he did it for you, but you've got to receive it. I can say I have a gift for you, but you're like, hey, thanks for the gift, but you never received the gift. It ain't going to do you any good. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll read this and then we'll close. Glory to God. All right, I'm going to read this out of the New King James. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, how? By the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. To those who have obtained precious faith. How did they obtain this precious faith? They obtained it by the righteousness of God. By receiving what Jesus did, that he became sin and made them righteous. By receiving that, they have obtained this like precious faith. What is like precious faith? A precious faith is a faith that looks at what God says and just believes it. Do you know what humility is? People like to talk about humility sometimes as if like it's something that can't be attained. But humility is not self-degradation. Humility is not self-belittling. Humility is, in a very simple way, is believing, humbling yourself. Remember this scripture over in James? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Right? Humility is simply believing what God says about you. If God says you're forgiven, humility says, man, I'm forgiven. If God says, I'm the righteous of God, humility says, I'm righteous. If God says to forgive, then I forgive. If God says to be a blessing, then I'm going to be a blessing. Humility is simply surrendering yourself, humbling yourself before God by saying, humbling yourself before God is not coming to God and grovel. Can you imagine going to the president's office? Or okay, maybe if you had one that you liked. Okay. Okay, we'll change it. Okay. I guess that didn't go over real well. Okay. So can you imagine going to someone's office that was very important and you felt could help you? Okay. You go to them and you walk in the room and you're like, oh, Mr. So-and-so. Oh, Mr. So-and-so. Oh, I've been so bad. I've been so horrible. Oh, would you help me? Oh, what are they going to say? I can't even understand what you're saying. Calm down. Because what are you doing? You're coming in, you're groveling because of the mistakes you've made. That is not coming in boldly. Coming in boldly is going, Lord, I'm here. And I have a right to be here. Do you believe that you have a right to stand before a holy, awesome God? And to make a request. If when I said that, something on the inside kind of made you hesitate or have to think about that, then we need to get that fixed. We need to get that fixed. Because God wants to do so much for you and help you so much, but he cannot do it when you have that mindset of guilt and shame. Especially when he's already sent Jesus to die on the cross to free you from all that mess. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says here, we have this precious, like precious faith by the righteousness of God, by believing that we are the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've got a note here. You can't walk in faith if you don't believe you have a right to. You can't walk in faith if you don't believe you have a right to. That's why God made you righteous, so that you could come before him without condemnation, without inferiority. He wants you to be able to know who you are and know that you have a right to stand in his throne room and say, God, here's my situation. What else does it mean to come boldly? It means that you're about... let me tell you something. What I'm talking about will change your prayer life. Because when you can come boldly before God and say, God, I got this situation. You're coming in boldly. The other thing, the reason why it's boldly is because you number one, you know you're righteous, so you have a right to be there. And number two, because you have a right to be there, you know that he's going to answer your prayer. What does it say in 1 John 5:14 and 15? This is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we will receive what we have asked of him. You see how important righteousness is? Yeah, come on up. Get that microphone because you'll need it. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
He was talking, that just came to me, just to help, maybe help somebody, but if you have a good relationship with your parent, or if you, you know, parents that love their kids, they would never want them to come groveling, you know, and begging to be in their presence, right? A good parent always just wants their kid to come boldly. And when you accept Christ, you become a child of God. The old is gone and you become an heir now with Christ. Jesus is the Son of God, right? We become sons also, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if Jesus can boldly come, or he's right now at the boldly, he's standing right by Father God, we can boldly come because we're his children too now. When you accept Christ in your life, you become his child.
Right.
And he's not going to treat you any different than he did Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus can be right beside the Father boldly and talk to the Father. We can come boldly and talk to the Father. So if you know as an earthly parent that is good parent, would never want their kid to feel unworthy to be able to come into their presence and just talk to them, we shouldn't feel that way with the Father God, because he loves us even more than our earthly parents do.
Right. Yeah.
And he wants more for us than our earthly parents want. And we want good things for our kids, but how much more does God want for us? So don't let that hinder you.
Amen. 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 So this is what I want to do. Hallelujah. If you're here today, and you want prayer because you no longer want to allow your past to hold you back, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you're thinking, man, I hear what he's saying, but my goodness, man, he just don't know the things I've done. I don't need to know the things you've done. All I need to know is how powerful the blood is. And the blood of Jesus was shed to forgive you. It's not about God's never forgiven you. It's about you've never forgiven yourself. So if you're here today and you feel like that kind of stuff, that guilt, shame, embarrassment of your past or whatever, it's been holding you back from walking in what we're talking about today, I want to pray for you, because we're going to get you delivered from that. And we're going to pray for you, and we're going to believe God that you are the righteousness of God. Amen. So if you want prayer to know Christ, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've never given your life to Christ, that's the first step, right? So if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ, I want to pray for you. I want to introduce you to my very best friend, and his name is Jesus. And he is the best friend ever. And he loves you, and he is the one. He is the one who died on the cross for you. He is the one that allowed his blood to be shed for you so that you could become the very righteousness of God we're talking about. Amen. And when you're walking around as righteous, man, your faith, you know, and you continue to hear the word. And then when you hear the word, you're no longer listening to anything of the enemy. God says, I can do that. Well, praise God, man. I'm the righteousness of God. Of course I can. Amen. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you haven't been walking with God, I implore you, come on, let me pray with you. It would be such an honor and a privilege to set that right with you. Amen. So if you want prayer for that, you want to give your life to Christ, I want to ask you, step out of your seat, come right up here. I want to pray with you. Amen. And if you're here today and you've been letting guilt and shame hold you back and make you feel unworthy, there's nothing further from the truth. That is all lies of the enemy trying to keep you from becoming the person that God's created you to be. He made you, if you've given your life to Christ, he made you a new creation altogether. And if you want prayer for that, I'd ask you, step out of your seat, let me pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, go ahead and step out of your seat. Everybody good? Hallelujah. Thank you. I knew you were supposed to be up here.
I know you did.
I love my brother, and I'm tired of the enemy holding him back. Amen. He's saved. He's a child of God. He's just been letting stuff of the past hold him back, but that day is over.
Amen.
That day is over. Is there anybody else who wants to join him while I'm praying? I'm going to go ahead and pray for him. If the Lord moves on your heart to come up here to get prayer, please come up. We'll be glad to pray for you. Otherwise, we're going to set my brother free right now. Gone. For him, for you, for me, our past is gone. Watch this. It's not even history. Let me say that again. Your past is not even history if you've given your life to Christ. Because he doesn't just put things in the rear view mirror. He gets rid of them. He says, as far as the east is from the west, have I removed, not hidden, not covered, I have removed your sin. You are the righteousness of God. When we walk in that reality, you will see, of course, now faith, now watch this. Now faith comes by hearing the word. But it is established. We read it in 2 Peter, right? But our faith is established by righteousness. You've got to believe that you're righteous before you can read something and it builds your faith. Got something else? Come on up, girl. Grab the microphone. Facebook's got to hear it. Wow.
But this is the Lord was speaking to me, and I don't know. Somebody needs to hear this.
Glory to God.
Because of your past, that's what you hold on to. That's what you determine, you know, how you've been treated with your mistakes. Because you've been treated by people or family of your mistakes, that's how you feel God is treating you. But he doesn't look at you like that.
That's so
the
true.
Lord does not,
so right.
He does not judge like the world does or people do,
mm-hmm.
Okay? In God's kingdom, he does. He forgives and he forgets, and it's done with. But because you've experienced that so much in your upbringing or in your life through people that you love and you look to for that acceptance or for that recognition, and they did not look at you that way. They made you feel unworthy or not good enough or always making you feel down about yourself. But the Lord says, that's not me. Don't size me up with the world. I'm better than the world. I'm of a different mm-hmm. realm. And so God sees you differently. So don't let the enemy lie to you anymore about that. Let's just say, no, God doesn't measure me the way the world does, or family, or people. People are human, and they're not, until they continue to renew their mind to be like Christ, we make mistakes, right? So remember that, and don't allow the enemy to say, well, if, you know, because of this, just recognize that and don't let the enemy hold you in that.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
You can pray,
glory
sir.
To God. That's good. That's good. And that's why it says in Romans 12, 2, do not be conformed to the world's way of thinking. We don't do things in the kingdom of God the way they do things in the world. Jesus says, love those that love you. Oh, that's what it says. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Love those. I knew what I was doing. I was, love those. Jesus said this. What he really said was, love those that hate you. Bless those that curse you. And pray for those that use you and persecute you. Boy, that sounds different than the world, doesn't it? The world says, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You cut me, I'm going to cut you. But Jesus says, no, 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 no. We're different. We're a new species altogether. We're the righteousness of God. So therefore, everything we do out of that righteousness. Because we are righteous. Righteousness is not what we do. Righteousness is who we are. We are righteous. Therefore, good stuff comes out of us. Amen. Too many people have been struggling with trying to stop doing this. Man, if I could just stop doing it. Come on, just start declaring that you're the righteousness of God. You get a righteousness mindset, and you'll be amazed at how little you desire to do some of those things. Because it's not righteous. So let's quit arm wrestling with the works of the flesh. Realize that we're the righteousness of God. Go around, tell your wife, tell your husband, tell somebody, you know, as you're going through your day, do you know I'm the righteousness of God? Do you know that I'm the... You might not want to say that so much to a sinner because they're going to think you're self-righteous. But find a brother, man. Come on, text me. Hang on, I'll nail that board in a minute. PK, did you know I'm righteous? Oh, yeah, I know you're righteous. So am I. Glory to God. Enjoy your day. Find somebody to declare your righteousness, that you're righteous. We'll get more into that next week. But your confession about it has a lot to do with how fast that'll develop in you. Amen.